Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Last week, and if you will, Deborah was ministering. And my wife is a phenomenal person of great faith and a depth of the Word of God with an amazing photographic memory. Has preached in the greatest conferences and with the greatest ministers on the planet. And I'm real proud of her. She's been a lady that has been a phenomenal wife. Loving me is not an easy thing to do. She's not only loved me and cared for me, but also loved and cared for her children. And then now cares for her grandchildren, of which she has 12 of, and one even great-grandchildren, making 13. She likes to be with them all the time. I'm not as much in desire of that as she is. That would be the only conflict that we might have. It's like when you show up at my house with all the kids, it's okay, it's time to go home. But Grandpa, we've only been here 5 minutes. Well, it's not exactly that bad, but it's not good. And but my wife is a tremendous lady. She was ministering last Sunday night, for those of you that were here, she was ministering about a subject that it was about, if you will, complaining. And how much it talks about in the scripture about how we poison our own lives, listen to me now, by complaining all the time about things. Things that you can justify and have a right to complain about. But we still complain and it spoils our life. And all through the scripture, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you will see this from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Those that are habitual complainers are people who become, at the end of their life, some of the biggest losers. And God doesn't want you to be a loser. He wants you to be a winner with Him. So He mentions it in scripture oftentimes, and Deborah gave us some great insight into that last Sunday night. This is kind of part two to that, if you will. One of the things she did, she says, let's do something to the congregation. Let's take 1 week and fast complaining. I thought, boy, this is gonna be good. I knew she had a call coming up for the 100th time with Verizon, who is now Frontier. If you know what I'm talking about, just smile. If there's anybody gonna finish a phone call and complain after being on the phone with those people, that's it, you know? I mean, it's like the nicest people in the world that get nothing done. And it is just amazing. On top of all of that, she was almost hit by a car speeding up our driveway. And she went to talk to the people, and I'm in the backyard, I'm saying, Deborah, let it go, let it go. And she's just walking up there. I'm thinking, here she goes, man. She's going to let it out. And she went up there and she says, you know, I don't want to cause any problems. And she was just as kind as she could possibly be. She told the person to slow down in our driveway. We own this driveway. You're just using it. And so she was that way. And it was just a week of really fasting, complaining. And it's been a good week. It really has been a good week. Every time I started to complain, she says, what was it that we were fasting? It's easier fasting complaining than food. Can I have an amen here? And so, tonight I thought we would do something different. It's called How to Combat Complaining. And it's really an interesting thing because complaining, like I said, is from the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible. Look with me, if you will, into John in the 6th chapter. And in John the 6th chapter, let's take a look at a verse where Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking really to his disciples. He's speaking to the men that have been judging and criticizing him and complaining about him because they know who he is, they know where Jesus come from. And he makes this statement in the New Testament. And it's really fascinating, verse number 43, and Jesus therefore answered them and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Because we have a tendency to murmur. We have a tendency to complain. We have a tendency to gripe is a better word that we use. And what it does is kind of in this warning, don't do it, is because it's a bad habit to get into, hard to get out of, and it spoils who you are. Listen to this, listen. And it spoils who you can become. And I never really thought about it that way, but complaining spoils the adventure of life that God has for you. That's how important it is, and that's why God speaks about it numerous times. It's interesting because Paul the Apostle speaks about it in Philippians, the second chapter. Let's go there in Philippians, the second chapter, and he makes a statement in Philippians, the second chapter, and he says these words, if you will, in verse number 14. Do all things, and then he says, without complaining and disputing. I mean, I've read that a million times, but I never really thought about it. Listen to what he's saying. Remember this, God asks you to do something, wouldn't ask you to do something you can't do. God's not in heaven trying to play a trick on you and looking down saying, I've asked them that in all things, do those things without complaining or disputing, without you being able to do them. And then he'd be tricking us, wouldn't he? And he's making fools out of us. He doesn't do that. But God makes it, and I love this word, all things. All things means everything, even when you're talking to Frontier. You know? All things. I mean, somehow along the way, we have to realize that complaining just destroys us. Deborah told me a joke this morning. We were having coffee together. I didn't quite get it. Hopefully you do. And she had to explain it to me. And then I thought it was pretty funny, so I thought I'd share it with you. This old farmer in Texas is driving along. He's got this horse trailer. And in the horse trailer, he's got an old mule. And he's got his dog next to him in his truck, and he starts to go down these roads, wind hill roads, and he loses control of his vehicle, and his vehicle falls over and crashes all over the place and rolls and tumbles, and the poor mule is all broken up, you know, and the old dog is thrown out of the car and he's all broken up, and man, this guy's not doing much better himself. And luckily, one of the Texas Rangers saw him as he went off the road and went after him, and the Texas Ranger walks up to the mule and sees it. It's in not very good shape, and takes out his gun and shoots him dead. And then he walks over to the dog, and the dog's not in good shape, and takes his gun out again and shoots him dead. Then he walks over to the old man that was thrown from the truck all broken up, and he says, how are you doing, bud? The guy said, I've never been better in my whole life, man. You know, somehow we complain a lot, get ourselves in trouble. I couldn't get that joke. She had to explain it to me. I'm not much on jokes, but I'm glad you got it. Sometimes what we say really pins us down and ruins our future. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what Paul the Apostle is saying, that we can do all these things without disputing, of course, but also without complaining about things all the time. You ever been around somebody that complains all the time? It'll infect you. It's almost like you need to get away from it because it really changes your life. Well, so I want to share some things about failure by complaining. It's kind of like a little subject. You might want to write that down, failure by complaining. And I'm going to give you three quick things that happen when you complain. And then I'm going to show you in the scripture what the scripture says about what to do so you don't complain, because that's really important for all of us. Is that all right? Because just saying to you, complaining is bad and it'll ruin your life and destroy your future, all that, and that's pretty good, but it's still not good enough unless we show you from Scripture what it is that you should be doing. That's the way it has to be and the way it really should be. Number one, failure by complaining. Number one, you will become, this is crazy, but it's true, you will become your complaint. When you start to complain about stuff, it won't be long before what you're complaining about is the very thing that you become. Is that wild? Yeah. The Bible makes it very clear that the words of your mouth are seeds that go into your soul and your spirit and will either edify you or destroy you. That's why it's important for you to watch the words of your mouth. And if we're in a constant mode of complaining, it seems like that negativity becomes what our lifestyle is all about, and that's what we act out, and that's what we live with, and that's what destroys us. And the very thing that we complain about oftentimes is what we will eventually, if we keep on doing it, become. I'll prove it to you. I'm not going to prove it to you any other way but by Scripture. So go with me to Exodus. Right there in the beginning, in the 14th chapter of Exodus. And let's take a look at it together, because it's really kind of cool as we read this. This is the children of Israel. As you know, they've been in bondage for 400 years, begging God to get out of the Egyptians' camp and out of the Egyptians' authority and get free so they can live their life normally. And a lot of times we read this as a story, but a lot of us are in bondage, and then God wants to set us free. And then God says, look, I'm going to take you out of bondage. I'm going to take you into your own personal promised land. He's taken them to a promised land filled of milk and honey. It's a great story of them getting set free, crossing the wilderness and getting into the promised land. But a lot of things happen from the time they get set free to the time they actually get in the promised land. And a lot of things that happen to them, almost all of it comes because they are complaining. And the whole thing is trying to express something to all of us that God wants to tonight, wants you to know that he wants to take you into the blessings of your personal promised land. But you're complaining oftentimes, like the children of Israel, will stop you from ever accomplishing that which God has for you. You and I need to shut our mouths and stop complaining about every little thing and becoming the whiners of the world. Because when you and I complain, we're saying to God, we don't trust you. We're saying to God, it's really bigger than you. We really don't like it, God, and I don't like your plan, and I don't like what's coming along. And you're really showing by complaining one of the worst attitudes there is towards God, who solves all of your problems and leads you to where you need to be. But you're complaining as if he's not going to do it. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Now listen to what they say to Moses. They've just gotten out. They're just kind of free, getting ready to cross out of the hands of the Egyptians. Listen, this is the amazing part. God's done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle before their very eyes. It's shocking what God has done. And they still have a habit of complaining. Sounds like some Christians I know. How about you? Exodus 14, starting verse number 11, says it like this. Then they said to Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this, now I like verse 12. Verse 12 is kind of fascinating. Listen to this. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. The very thing they confessed and complained about is exactly what happened to them. Guess what happened? They died in the wilderness. Every one of them. And you know who came up into the promised land? Their children. Not one complainer. When their children finally came of age and all the first generation died off, then the children came up and they went into the promised land. And that's where you read it in Joshua 1, where he says, be strong and of good courage. I've given you, and he'll bless you, and so on. Man, God wants to take care of it, and God wants to bless his people. And here we see the very thing that they were speaking of and complaining about is the very thing that happened to them. That's what I was trying to point out to you. But verse number 13 comes along and makes it an amazing statement also. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall not see them again anymore forever. And the Lord will fight for you. And I love this last part. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your... He just told them to shut up. Come on, somebody. He just told them, listen, stop your complaining. That would have been great if they learned their lesson right then, because God did exactly what he said he was going to do. You'd think after God has done so many wonderful things in their life, they'd get the picture. How many times has God done great, mighty, marvelous things? We're sitting here because God's done great, mighty, marvelous things, but we still have a tendency to go home and start complaining about everything. And it's stopping our future, and we will become what it is we're complaining about. As they said, we will die in the wilderness. They did. Is anybody listening? So important for us. Let me tell you something else. We're talking about this kind of a neat little thing, failure by complaining. Number two, there is always something to complain about. I don't care if you finish the one thing you're complaining about. You ever notice there's something else that comes along you complain about? I mean, a whole nation right now is complaining about everything. Is that the craziest thing in the world? We've got unemployment down to 3.5. We've got the issues that are taken care of, that we've been wanting taken care of. We've got economy stimulated like more than ever before that we were seeing. The stock market, you've never made more money than you've ever made. If you had money in the stock market, only three of you do. But nevertheless, guess what? You never made no more money you ever did in your whole life than you take. And here we find ourselves complaining, complaining, complaining. And we're going to become exactly what we complain about. We need to shut our mouths. He tells him, shut your mouth. And there's always something else to complain about. Always. In fact, go with me, if you will, in Exodus. You're right there. Just flip the page of the 15th chapter, verse number 24, and let me read it to you. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what's that next word? Wait a minute. My point is, there's always something to complain about. So I want you to listen to me, and I want you to say the word out loud, because I'm going to make a point to you right now, and I want you to get it. They're complaining about against Moses, saying, what shall we
drink?
So here we see they're thirsty. The 16th chapter, verses 2 and 3, come along. In verse 2 of the 16th chapter, it says these words. And then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. They added Aaron in there too, in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Then we sat by our posts, pots of meat, and when they had bread to be full. For you have brought us out here into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with... Always something. One time it's thirsty, next time it's hungry. One time they got too much meat, next time they got not enough meat. Come on, guys. This you can laugh at them all you want, but can I tell you something? It's all of us. Nobody in this whole place probably complains more than me. I mean, being a pastor dealing with people, I have a tendency to complain. Like, I don't want to do that. Debbie says, you've got to. I said, why do I have to do that? Because you're the pastor. I don't have to go to church, do I? Yes, you do. That was years ago. I love you now, and I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, all of us complain, is my point. And we constantly, constantly complain about something. And can I say something? Why stop with one thing? You might as well get used to it. There'll be another one later on. Unless you stop completely. Let me say it again. Why stop with one thing? Because there'll be another thing to complain about down the road. The only way it works is if you stop completely and you catch yourself and you say, I'm not gonna complain about stuff. I'm just gonna take a deep breath, know God's in control, and I'm not gonna complain about stuff. Because it pollutes my future. Is anybody listening? I don't want failure by complaining. Interesting thing here is number three, if I can share this with you, complaining will depress you. In fact, complaining, what it does is it, I found out something. Debbie and I were talking on the way to church tonight, and for a few days I watched no news whatsoever. It was the coolest thing in the world. I mean, I had no problems with anybody. I wasn't yelling at the Congress or the House of Representatives. I wasn't mad at this person or that. I was just like, I had no problems. The news media complains about everything. In their complaints, they get us who are conditioned to complain to continue to watch. The more people that watch, the better their ratings. The better their ratings, the more they sell commercials. The more commercials could be sold at a higher rating because of the ratings. And the ratings come because somebody has amplified complaining. And I felt so good for a couple of days not watching. And so I had a little time right before church service. I was ready for tonight's meeting. I'd all prayed up and I watched the news. And I just said to myself, oh my goodness. Even the good guys that I like in the news are complaining. Turn it off. Get into the Word. One thing you find about God is God doesn't complain. He straightens us out and then believes the best of us. Come on, somebody. In Psalm 77, go there with me. I'll just pop it up on the overhead for you. Psalm 77, it's kind of interesting. Verse number one, it says, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. The psalmist writes, okay? To God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In other words, you know, oftentimes we think that God's not listening. God's listening to everything you say. When you complain, you got to hear this. Is that all right? When you complain, he hears it. When you complain, he hears it. And this psalmist is complaining to God, and God hears it. Verse number two comes along. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Stop right there. You can't refuse something unless it's offered to you. So here's God that he seeks, offers him this comfort, and he's so into complaining, he refuses it. Is that fascinating? Oftentimes we're just like that. Verse number three. I remember God. I was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Notice the small s on the spirit means it's his soul was overwhelmed. Why? Because he was filled with complaining and wouldn't listen to what God had to say. That's us oftentimes. We can complain. I need someone to hear me. Talk to God, get your relief from God, and let it go to God and drop it and move on. And don't be someone who refuses the comfort of God by keep talking. Receive it by faith. Is anybody listening? It's so important. Boy, I wish somebody taught me this when I was a young pastor. I was writing a scripture, but so much. Would have helped my life a lot to not to complain so much. So let's talk about, do you remember what the subject was? Do you remember what the title of the message was? How to combat complaining. Jude, first chapter. Jude, by the way, is a little book right in front of the book of Revelation. So if you find the book of Revelation, just go until you find one chapter, book in front of, if you will, book of Revelation. And starting in verse number 16, it says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts and their mouths. And I love this, their own mouths, great swelling words. I thought that was fascinating. Did you know when you complain, they are words that are swell up. And they'll come in and make the whole atmosphere of your life something you don't want. These grumblers, these complainers, they're walking according to the lusts of this, their own lusts. So that means when you and I are in a place of complaining about anything, even though you may have the right, even though you may have absolute justification for doing it, but when you start to complain, what happens is you're moving into your own personal physical feelings. Now the flesh starts to take over and you become this grumbler, a murmurer, if you will, a complainer that's poisoning not only the world around you with swollen words, but you also ruin your own life with these swollen words of complaining. Swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. You ever been with somebody who says, man, I love you, but those people are flattering. That's the way it is. In verse number 17, it says, but you, beloved, speaking now to those that are Christians, us that are saved, but you, beloved, remember. See, God's always wanting us, you know, when you're in the middle of starting to wanting to complain, you gotta have to start to remember something. And I pray tonight that you won't just take this message and just blow it off, forget about it, and move on. But you'll remember how important it is not to be a person that complains with these swelling words that ruin your future. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would not walk according to their own, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. You know, we complain about so many people that act ungodly, but there's the way it is, what he just said in these times. They walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the, notice the capital S on the word spirit. Yeah. They do not have God. And oftentimes we listen to people, let people affect us that aren't even part of the family of God. And we're so mad, we complain all the time about them. And really what we should be doing is looking, what do you expect from somebody who listens to nothing but the flesh? Yeah. And has no ability to listen to anything but their own personal lusts. Yeah. So why is it that we are complaining about this stuff when you're on the phone with somebody, or someone lies to you about something, or someone didn't do the job, or the boss that you work for that isn't absolutely operating the way you think he ought to operate in? What makes you think he will without the spirit? He has no spirit inside of him except that of a carnal man. And he makes this statement. He says these are sensual people. Verse number 20. But you, beloved, and now he tells us what to do. Are you ready? Feeling like you wanna complain. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for his mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Four things that you and I can do. I can't amplify them. I don't have time to do that tonight. But I'm going to mention them again. Number one, he says this is what you need to do. Build yourself up. To build myself up means that I'm going to take myself in this position of frustration, this position of weakness, this position of being down, this position of being attacked, this position of being violated in some sort, something that I'm going to complain about, and I'm going to take myself and build myself up. And then he says, on your most holy faith. The word holy faith is fascinating to me. The word holy means, does anybody remember my definition of the word holy? Exclusively his. Well, thank you, Pastor. God bless you. That's why you're the senior pastor. The only one. Did you notice how Deborah didn't answer me? Oh, did you? Did you do that? Okay. Exclusively his. When your faith is exclusively on him, on your most exclusively faith. Faith not in your money. Faith not whether someone apologizes. Faith when the traffic jam. I know, I'll have faith when the cars start to move at a decent flow. Has anybody ever complained about the freeway? We all have. And then we finally get out of complaining when we finally hit 45 miles an hour and say, that's not bad, I'll take that. You know what I'm talking about. But when your faith is not just in the money that you have or the job that you have or the kids or the wife or anything else, but your faith is in Jesus because it's exclusively on him, then that builds you up from this deteriorated, ready to complain, down, discouraged position to a position of, I have confidence in him. And even though that's at me, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Therefore, God will, and I have faith for this, take it and make it good for me. All I have to do is shut up and put my faith in him exclusively. Kind of a powerful understanding. The second thing he says is praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, in a Pentecostal church, that means praying in tongues. I don't disagree with that. Mark my words. I think praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. But that does not mean that people who don't pray in tongues don't pray in the Holy Spirit also. And it's stupid for us to make the statement that unless you pray in tongues, you are not in the Holy Spirit. That is a stupid statement because Billy Graham, who never spoke in tongues, I guess he never prayed in the Spirit. Hello. Who made you that stupid? You know what I'm saying? Now, if you have your prayer language, come on. Shandallah. Get it on. But if you don't, just get your heart set on God and have that prayer come from inside. And it can be in English or in tongues, but it is not just a prayer that comes out of your head of mercy, God, mercy, mercy. Oh, I think I'll go watch television. It's something that comes from deep down inside that changes the world around you. Come on, somebody. Is anybody listening? Now, if you're going to send me an email and give me a bunch of verses, I've read them all. Don't. I'm just going to throw them all away before. I don't read that good to read your emails anyway. Verse number 21. Keep yourself. This is so fun. Oh, God, keep me in your love. How many times have we been around people that are immature Christians and they pray? They're in a circle. You know, they're having that kumbaya. Oh, we love you. God, keep us in your love. My Bible says, keep yourself in there, dude. You're going to have to work. Is that what it says? Keep yourself in the love of God. I guess the writer of this didn't know what he's talking about. But the problem with that is the writer of this is the Holy Spirit. Because all the scripture is given by inspiration, so it's not some dumb human. It happens to be the Holy Spirit. And he says, keep yourself. In other words, I've got to keep myself not in what the violation is that caused me to want to complain. Let me say it again. I've got to keep myself not in the violation that wants me to complain, but I got to keep myself in the love of God that gives me the choice to not complain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's always a choice. And oftentimes we choose the wrong things, complaining and violating our futures. Is this cool?
Yes.
Is anybody listening?
Yes.
Fourth thing that he says, looking. I love this. I mean, looking. Looking for the mercy. God, I'm under stress. I'm under pressure. I want to complain about this. I want to open my mouth and judge and criticize and be negative. I just want to vent. Do you love me enough to let me vent? Your answer is always no. Destroy yourself if you want, but not me with you. And he says, looking for his mercy. In other words, I got my faith exclusively on him. I'm holding on to that with all my heart, man. I'm keeping myself in the love of God. And then he comes along. He says, not only doing that, but you got to every day look for the mercy that's going to bring the relief to the situation that you wanted to complain about. Because God's mercy is always there. His goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Goodness and mercy. Everywhere you go, it's following you. Oh, get up here, mercy. I need some mercy. Get up here. Gotta be looking for it. And sometimes, my friends, these simple things, you know, God's not difficult. What makes people great with God is simply believing and obedience. Just as simple as that. This is not like rocket scientists. You know, in my studies 350 years ago, no, I'm studying about a period of time 350 years ago. I didn't say I was 350 years old. For those of you that laughed, everybody knows I'm only 100. But 350 years ago, in order for you to be a Christian in England, I read one time years ago that you had to have a college degree. Imagine that. There's like two of you in here that would have made it. I'm kidding, there's more than that. But my point being is that this is not rocket science, it's simple. Rocket science, it says you gotta have this, 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 this. This is just somebody that hears the word, realizes the importance of it, sees what it is, and then you've got four little things to do and starts putting them to work. At first you will fail. At first you will trip. At first it won't seem like it works. But after a while, it'll start working, it'll start happening, and your life will start to get blessed. Hey, it's your choice. How about giving the Lord a great big praise tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.